Good morning. So this morning we are reading from 2 Samuel chapter 5 verse 17 to 21. And we're covering a different aspect of intelligence, right? Lord, how do you want to do this? Verse 19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?" You see, David recognized something. This earth and everything that it is, everything, the people, the enemies, the friends, everything belongs to the Lord. And only He is able to tell you what's actually going to be taking place next. Only He can do that. Everything else is guesses. Now, when you get to the people who work on the evil side, you'll go to fortune tellers, you'll go to people like that, and what happens there is you have a conversation and they then engage with Satan's demons and will get an answer about something that's going to take place in your life. But what you've actually done is by receiving that answer, you've given those demons permission to do that in your life. And so you've actually cursed yourself. And those demons now have a right not just to do the thing that has been told to you, but to do anything they want. And remember, they hate people. They hate anyone, especially Christians, but they hate people, and they'll do whatever they can to get people to be hurt and angry and upset. Anything that they can feed off, that's what you've invited into your life. You've gone to Satan for intelligence. And it's not just fortune tellers who do this. It's the astrologers who do this. It's any time that you go and you look for an answer, and the source of that answer is one that relies on Satan's things. God strictly forbids you to go there for a simple, simple reason. He loves you, and He has given those things the right to interface with people that seek them. Now, if you've done this, and you suddenly recognize that you're actually beginning to understand what's going on in your life, you can turn and you can say, "Jesus, please help me." You can turn away from those things. You can say, "Jesus, please come in me. Drive away all these evil things that have been working in my life. Because I don't want Satan to be the source of my intelligence. I want you, God, to be the source of my intelligence." You see, Satan owns the kingdoms of this earth at the moment. But God owns the entire planet and everything going on in it and around it. And so, Satan is just a cog, one moving part in everything God is doing on this planet. Now, what does that mean? He doesn't own the kingdoms of heaven. He doesn't own any child of God. He doesn't own them. And what have they done? They might be physically in a physical earth suit, but they've stepped out of Satan's kingdom. And as spirits, they've stepped into God's kingdom. So internally, there's a bit of a battle going on between their physical earth suit, which is in Satan's kingdom, and themselves, which is the spirit, which is in God's kingdom. But it also means that you've got access to so much more. So much more. Not for your own selfish reasons, but to be able to be such a blessing to everyone around you. Now, once you've given your heart to Jesus, That's when you run into a bit of a challenge. You're trying to hear God. Now, firstly, you need to know what you are listening for. And you get that by reading the Bible cover to cover, again and again, and you discover who He is. Who is God? What are the kind of things that He would say, wouldn't say? One thing that you have to remember is when you read the battles of, for example, Joshua and all of that, you discover that there is a hybrid race on this planet that should never have been here. They were created by the fallen angels, and God was cleansing this planet from them. He's not going to ask you to do that now because Jesus has come. And what Jesus has done is Jesus has come and made a way for you to escape what God is going to do to this planet next. He promised He would not come and destroy it by water, destroy everything. Yes, there'll be floods, there'll be bad floods. But He's not coming to destroy everything that lives by water. This time around, He's coming to destroy everything by fire. But He's going to take His children out of here first. Right? One way or another. Either you hatch out of your physical earth suit, which is just an eggshell, into heaven permanently through death. All death is your earth suit stops working, right? If you're driving a car and the car stops or crashes or whatever, you get out the car. You're fine, but everything else is not, right? Same thing. You get out of this earth suit. But when you get out, you need to be getting out into something. And when you give your heart to Jesus, that's what He came to do. Came to give you the ability to step into a spirit suit. And the moment you give your heart to Jesus, you get that spirit suit. So now you're living within a spirit suit, which is inside an earth suit. Actually, the spirit suit can extend beyond the earth suit. But anyway, that's a separate aspect. The point is, now you're trying to learn to know God's voice, because now you're not going to the world, into Satan's kingdom for your intelligence. Now you're going to the Lord. Well, you need to know who the Lord is. And so you read, or you listen to the Word of God, and you discover, and in your heart, because God's given you a new heart, He's given you a new spirit, there's certain things that you just intrinsically know. You just know in your heart that that's right. Right? And you will hear Him. You will know Him. You know, when people learn to speak your language, whatever your language is, when people learn to speak your language, they start with simple things like pictures and hearing a sound or whatever the case is, or maybe written letters. It's a slow process, so to speak, right? With God, He will talk to you in pictures. He will talk to you in situations. He will talk to you in your conscience, saying, no, that's a bad idea, don't do that. Or you said you wouldn't do that, so don't go and do it. You know, He will prompt you with these sort of things, right? And He's prompting you to stay within God's will. Because outside of God's will, you step into Satan's kingdom, and now you can get really messed up on that side again. And you can realize that it's all gone wrong, and you can turn back to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, sorry, I went off the road and I just wasn't following your path and everything's a mess. Please, can you just help me back right? And then something happens where the same way as you put your trust in what the astrologers or the fortune tellers or anybody else was saying, now you put your trust in what God is saying. You see, intelligence is of no value unless you trust the source. And it's all about trust. But now, trust is a strange thing. Trust comes from first having faith. In other words, I'm going to believe that this is true. It's a decision to believe that something is true. Right? And of course, you're believing it with very little knowledge, very little proof, sometimes no proof at all. But inside you, somewhere, you know that this is true. And you can't put your finger on it. You can't prove it to anybody else. But that's stepping out in faith. That's believing by faith. Right? Now, give you an example of this. I can walk into a room. There's a bunch of chairs around. Right? I go and I sit in one. I just sit. No questions asked. No thinking about whether or not this chair can hold me. I just sit. Right? That is me believing the chair will hold me. If I walk in, I can see some broken chairs around, and there's a couple of these chairs that look a little rickety, etc. I might come along and go and like try and push it around a bit to see whether or not it's likely to hold me. Now I'm having to make a decision. Now I'm still deciding. I don't have faith yet, but I'm hoping that the chair will hold me. I'm hoping that it will hold me. And then I start to sit. Now, as I'm sitting, I'm having faith that this chair is going to hold me. Once I'm sitting and I can then relax a little bit, now I'm beginning to trust that this chair is going to hold me. And once I've been trusting it for a while, guess what? I come in, I just sit down. I don't think about it. Never crosses my mind that this chair could actually fail. That is when I'm believing. God says we need to get to the point where we believe His word. But it starts with this process of hope, and then faith, and then trust, and then belief. When it comes to intelligence, it's the same thing. You see, the Bible is in fact a book of intelligence. From beginning to end is a message that God is giving each person. This is the true intelligence. And as you go through it, you discover things and you begin to hope. You begin to hope that you can have that same relationship with the Lord. You begin to hope that you can experience God in the same way. And you know, according to the word, He wants to have that with you. He really does want you to have that. Right? There's that hope. And then you begin to have faith. Now, God says it's impossible to please Him without having faith. Well, the reason is that you have to believe that He's there. Now, you're believing that He's there. You don't necessarily believe that He's there for you, but you believe that He's there. That's faith. Right? And then you can ask. And you can ask God to help you, to give you insight, to lead you, to give you that little bit of knowledge that you need to answer certain things. Now, He still expects you to do your part. Right? He's not going to do things for you. I like the way the one person put it. As soon as you know how to do your shoelaces, He's not going to send somebody to help you to do your shoelaces. You can now do them. Right? If you choose not to do them, one day you'll trip over them and then you'll realize, oh, I should have tied my shoelaces. Right? But when you can't do that, He will send somebody to help you to do that. God doesn't do things for you that you can do. He does expect you to grow and learn how to do things, yes. The good things, mind you. He doesn't want you to learn how to do the bad things. But He will allow you to make terrible mistakes and get yourself involved in things that you really should never have gotten involved in. One of the reasons He does that is because it causes you to be able to understand somebody that's in the same predicament as what you were. And now you're able to take God's love into that space, and people are able to listen to you because they recognize that you know where they are. You understand their experiences. and they begin to have hope that you can help them, and then they begin to have faith, and then they begin to trust you. All right. So that trust comes along. Now the trust is, as I said with the chair example, it's a journey. The more you engage with God, the more you do things with God, the more you begin to trust. And trust is eventually something whereby God says to you, okay, now just step away from this belief that you've had in the past. And rather believe this, then you'll do it because you trust Him. And the more you do that, the more you get to the point whereby you believe. Now, when you're believing, it's like you've learned how to drive a car. You now can trust that the car is going to do what it's supposed to do. Now you can believe that you're able to engage with that car and it will do what you want it to do. Now, when we read this particular portion here, the backstory to this is David, up until this point, has not been made king. Right? Saul has been king, and Saul has tried to kill him a few times because he's realized that actually God's spirit has moved away from him and moved to David, and he's recognized that David is the one who's being blessed. But eventually now Saul has now been killed in battle. There is no king for Israel. And after a bit of discussion and dissension, they decide that they're going to make David king. Well, this is the same experience, if you want to put it that way, that the Muslim world had when Ben-Gurion declared that the name of this new state was going to be called Israel. The very next day, they were attacked, and the attacks have not stopped. They've changed form and shape, and there are multiple different kinds of ways of doing warfare against Israel, against Jews and against Christians, etc. Multiple different ways, right? One of them is to have as many children as you can, because that way you will be able to defeat in using the democratic system. There are many other different ways, not just the violent ways that we know of, right? I think there's 10 ways in total that are used. But the problem is that they're up against God. And many Muslims are recognizing that, hang on a minute, this is not working. And they're turning and they're going through the same process of hope and then faith and trust and belief. And they're turning away from the worship that they have done in the past and they're turning to Jesus. And they're recognizing the truth in Jesus. Right? Recognizing the truth in Jesus being the Son of God. Right? Not just physically the Son of God, but also being God Himself spiritually. Right? Now, at that time, all the peoples around Israel then said, no. We've got to defeat them now. We've got to step up and fight right now because we've got to destroy David and we've got to take away their king. Thinking that the kingship is what was holding everything together, not recognizing actually it is God that is holding this whole thing together. And you cannot fight against God. So, let's start this from the beginning. Verse 17. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came to seek David. And David heard and went down to the hold. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. You see, David asks, David believes because from the time that he was very, very young, he was developing this relationship with the Lord. He knew when it was God speaking. And this is a relationship that you yourself need to develop with God, right? But you need to know that it's Him, and for that you need to read the Word. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, "The Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters." Therefore he called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And there they left their images, and David and his men burnt them. You see, the second part of intelligence is to ensure that you do not bring anything that is of darkness, of evil, that is worshipped by those who do not worship the one and only living God. Not bringing any of that stuff back into your life. Everything from your past, all the things in your house, your memorabilia, your pictures, your everything, the stuff on your computers, all that sort of stuff, all that past. Doesn't mean to say you have to remove the good things that are good, but you got to look for all those things that have been a part of the darkness that you used to be in. Go search your house, go search everything, and do not bring it in. Go and take it out, delete it, burn it, break it. Don't pass it on to somebody else so that it can be a snare for them. Destroy the things of your life that used to be things that you used to keep. I mean, the darkness that I was involved in, I had to get rid of so many things that were really evil. A lot of my music, my goodness, that music was bad news. You know, people think of physical images to get rid of. Yes, do that. But your music can also be a real big snare. Go and get rid of that. In fact, what I did is I got rid of the entire music player because I felt, you know, this thing has been playing all of that stuff. I don't even want to look at this very nice, very expensive radio system. I don't want to look at it because it's got too many memories of all that bad stuff that I had going on. So I took it outside. I broke it up and threw it away in the bin. And I saved up and I bought myself another nice new one and I played good music on that. Right? And I had to grow my life from beginning again. But I did it because I discovered that the true intelligence is God. Satan can make things happen in your life, but it's because you give him permission to make things happen in your life, and you give him permission by believing what you are being told. You know, there are people who have died just because they were told that they were going to die. You know, there's so many people that get involved with the occult and the demonic and all that. And they use all of those tricks and things, and they work on a lot of people because those people have got no defenses. They do not have a nine-dimensional spirit given to them by God. They've got no defense against that stuff. Those who accept Jesus and give their hearts to Him are changed completely. They change from the inside out. Yes, your physical earth suit still stays the same. Right. But you, the real you, changes. But now the real you needs to discover the truth of this real world as it really is. And because God doesn't change, right, people say, oh, there's the God of the Old Testament, there's the God of the New Testament. The old one was really bad and horrible and angry. And the New Testament is very nice and helpful. No, that's not the truth. There's one God and He's never changed. Right? The relationship should be like this. When you have a little child and the little child comes in and jumps all over the furniture, You make sure that they understand this was not acceptable. And you punish them. Later on, they're now teenagers. They now recognize. They come in. They don't jump all over the furniture. Because they know that this is not a good way to have a good relationship with you. And that's the same thing. God gives you more grace. And the reason he can give you grace is because Jesus gets punished every time you do something that's wrong. People think, oh yeah, he got punished and that was it, it's done. No, no, no. Every time you do something wrong, Jesus is punished. We just don't understand time and eternity and the way it is. Every time you do something wrong, Jesus gets punished. In your place. So just don't do it. Don't do the wrong. Real intelligence is understanding that God loves you. He's done everything he can to reach you and hold you and draw you to himself to keep you safe. It's up to you to decide that you want to actually take that step. And it doesn't matter what faith you've been in the past. It doesn't matter how evil and dark your life has been. It doesn't matter how many terrible things you've done to others and to all sorts of situations, etc. It doesn't matter about that. God already knew that. But God's outside of time. God loves you and God wants you. So turn to him. Turn to him and say, in hope, I'm coming to you. And in faith, I'm trusting that you will help me through this and teach me and grow me. And I'm going to believe in you. One day I'll have full belief, but right now, in faith, I step into you. And I'm trusting you. Trust means you don't have a backup plan. Trust means there is nobody else that can help you. Trust means this is your only solution. And if God is your only solution, he will not let you down. He will grow you, and he has to break certain things out of your life that used to exist. So don't think that things are going wrong. No, just certain things are being broken away from you that really should never have been there in the first place. And God is changing you, right? Yes, it'll be painful. You'll have painful things taking place, sure. But he's growing your spirit. He's working on you. I heard somebody the other day, they were having a conversation with somebody else. The other person said, this person never had any problems in their life. And the person I was hearing on my end said, yes, but Satan doesn't have to take anything away from them because he's already got them. He's got no reason to attack them. He already owns them. Now, if you're in that space, if you do not belong to Jesus, Satan owns you. Don't think you're free. You're not free. Not free at all. You're still chained up. It's just that you are quite happy with your chains. God doesn't want you to be chained up. He wants you to be really free, truly free. He wants to make you free. You see, there's a difference in the other translations. They say, the truth will set you free. No, the truth doesn't set you free. The correct translation is the truth makes you free. Now, how does that work? You see, I can go and I can take a wild animal and they've been in a cage their whole life. And I take them to the wild and I open the cage and I let them out. I've now set them free, but I haven't made them free. They're probably not going to last the night because the wild is going to destroy them. Because they have no clue how to live in the wild. When the truth makes you free, it breaks down all the things that should not be there. Helps you to change your mind and realize what you should be doing and how you should be doing it. And over time, same as with that wild animal, if you take them and introduce them into an enclosure and teach them how to live in the wild, teach them about how to hunt, teach them how to do different things, show them what takes place with predators and help them to place themselves in the right environment, help them to socially interact with other creatures as well, because there's that whole social side as well that you have to learn to do. Now you're being made free to the extent that when you now are let out into the wild, you can integrate into it. You're fine. Yes, it's a new environment, but you've got to do that. It's the same thing about heaven. When God makes you free, He takes you through a process of growing you and breaking this off and changing that, and so that you are going to be free indeed, totally free. Because I don't want Satan to be the source of my intelligence. I want you, God, to be the source of my intelligence. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then score yourself on the right and make your comments on the left. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.